You know what, folks? Stress may be why you can't lose weight. If you've got moderate to high stress like I do, a doctor-formulated weight loss supplement called Lean could be your solution. Chronic stress wreaks havoc on blood sugar, which can cause your body to store excess fat. Stress can also slow your metabolism, which fuels weight gain, and you know all about stress eating and sugar cravings, right? Now the good news. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to help maintain healthy blood sugar levels, help optimize metabolism, and keep your appetite under control. Now, if your life is a bit stressful like mine and you want to lose weight, add Lean to your healthy diet and exercise lifestyle. Now get 15% off and free shipping at takelean.com. That's takelean.com and enter the promo code JustNews15. That's the promo code JustNews15 at takelean.com. One more time, takelean.com. Statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and it's not a substitute or alternative for care from a healthcare provider. Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News, where today we are bringing on our good friend, Michael Oren, the former Israeli ambassador to the United States, great author. He's got a new book out. We're going to be talking about that. To all who call in truth, you want to get this book. It's great. It's fantastic. But Israel, Hamas, there is a major conflict going on, one that we haven't seen at least since 2014. But there's a difference this time around that has Americans, Israelis, the Middle East much more concerned, because beyond the traditional rocket attacks, which Hamas has been doing for years, they bomb for a while, they rocket for a while, Israel returns the bomb. At some point, Hamas cries uncle and says, all right, we accomplished what we want. Let's have peace for a while. There's something else going on. There is violence in the street, anarchy in the street, lynchings, fightings in places where we haven't seen it before, where longtime neighbors, Arab and Israeli, Palestinian, Israeli, are fighting in the streets, like what we saw last summer. In the summer of discontent here in the United States with the BLM protests, the Antifa protests. This is a new dynamic that makes the current situation in Israel, where we have a lame duck prime minister, Netanyahu, is waiting to see if the opposition can form a majority of government, where Hamas is active, where Iran is emboldened. There is a witch's brew pot here that has a lot of the national security experts I'm talking to deeply, deeply worried about what's going on here. And we're going to bring you a live report right from Israel, right from Ambassador Oren, who's been such a good friend of the show, helped us make sense of so much of what's going on, from the Abraham Accords to the current moment of strife in the Middle East and inside the extraordinary nation of Israel. So we're going to spend the whole show focused on this. You need to stay on top of this, folks. This is a moment of gravity in the region. Many of the gains made in the last few years, Iran being sanctioned and being put in a box for a while, Palestinians and Israel have Israelis having a moment of relief and tension, the Abraham Accords going, all because American policy had a clarity, which is if you mess with Israel, you mess with the United States, and we're going to take care of you. Just ask General Soleimani, who got knocked off by President Trump. That clarity, which gave us a period of stability, much in the line of the peace through strength concepts that Ronald Reagan and his foreign policy gave us four decades ago, and which Donald Trump in many ways replicated, it's been replaced by an ambiguous message. Yes, yesterday, Biden and Blinken made a strong statement supporting Israel, saying they have the right to protect themselves and respond to these terrorist rocket attacks by Hamas. But behind the scenes, they've released money, aid to the Palestinian Authority, taking away any temptation by the Palestinian Authority to come back to the negotiating table with Israel. They've re-engaged in the nuclear arms deal talks with Iran, the greatest sponsor of state terrorism in the world, and by the way, a major sponsor, major facilitator of Hamas, the very bad actors that have ignited this new round of violence and fear in terrorism in Israel. These changes are very important. And in addition, some of the rhetoric for some of the Democrats, certainly not Secretary of State Blinken, who was pretty clear and issued a statement that would be very consistent with what a Bush or a Trump administration might have said in years past. But some of these Democrats, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, and others, are really undercutting the relationship with Israel and the United States, espousing anti-Israel views, embracing a terrorist organization like Hamas, which only sends a signal that is anti-Israel, maybe anti-Semitic, some people think. I think that needs to be debated in each person's mind. I'm not suggesting it one way or the other. I'm saying it's what others are observing in this language. We're going to discuss all of this with Michael Oren in just a second. Tremendous talent. Had a great relationship with Joe Biden during the Obama administration. So an ambassador who knows the current president very well, knows the region very well, saw what happened during the Trump years to bring some stability to the region, and understands the electoral politics of Benjamin Netanyahu and others in the state. Very gifted diplomat, very keen thinker strategically, and also a great writer. His books are fantastic. I'm going out this weekend and on Amazon and getting the book To All Who Call in Truth. It's the latest book by Michael Oren. We're going to have him here in just a second. Now, before we go to commercial break, I want to just mention one story on the site today. We continue to file Freedom of Information Act requests, press for information on your behalf so that we can get the truth about the 2020 election. And last night, my good colleague, Natalia Mittelstadt, came in with a new story, got new FOIAs from the city of Detroit, Wayne County, showing how they reported back to Mark Zuckerberg's group, the Center for Civic and Tech Life, the group that had $350 million to send to election judges and election administrators around the country, trying them to get them to arrange, get out the vote and mail-in voting operations that benefited predominantly Democrats, according to the people I talked to. Well, they reported that they used the money from Mark Zuckerberg. I think it was about $7.4 million, a very large number of dollars for Detroit. They used the money to create a, quote, new order, comma, in elections in Detroit. In other words, they changed the rules, they believe, forever, which, of course, would benefit Democrats the way these rules were changed. You've got to read these documents. So many people have suggested that the Zuckerberg money was just simply good governance money given during a pandemic to help out. But when you read the documents, when you see the behaviors, when you see how the money was spent, this money was a Democratic get-out-the-vote operation effort masquerading as COVID election aid. Read these documents. Look at the boasting of the city of Detroit election officials, the same city where we had a whistleblower named Jesse Jacob who identified widespread irregularities in the 2020 election that she herself participated in, admitted to. She's a longtime city worker, has lots of credibility. Check out that great story by Natalia Mittelstadt. Now, we're going to do a quick commercial break. When we come back, yep, the former Israeli ambassador to the United States, a friend, a good colleague of Joe Biden, knows President Trump, knows the Republicans, knows this city well, knows the region well. Former Ambassador Michael Oren joining us here on this show right after the commercial break. All right, folks, as we draw near to another critical election, it's not only about casting your vote, it's about elevating your voice, making your voice be heard. AMAC is more than just a senior discount organization. They unite like-minded patriots like you and I, committed to preserving our cherished values and actively opposing the leftist agenda that's sweeping across America. Just look at their recent victories. AMAC members helped to push forward an investigation into practices that inflate drug prices. They successfully defeated ranked choice voting in order to protect traditional voting methods, and they've also helped block a federal takeover of elections. As AMAC's membership grows, Washington is listening. Every new member strengthens this movement. If you love America, visit AMAC, amac.us/justnews, to become a four-year member for just $30. That's a great discount. AMAC is not only better for America, it's better for you. Membership gives you access to the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare guidance, money-saving discounts, trusted news, sweepstakes, and so much more. It's a community, not a service. Take advantage of our election year sale. 4 years for just $30 at AMAC. By joining over 2 million Americans, they can't ignore your voice in Washington anymore. Join now at AMAC, amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest, someone who has a new book out, but also who is really an expert on all things Middle East and Israel, former Israeli ambassador to the United States, Michael Oren. Mr. Ambassador, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, John, as always.
I know this is a grievous time in Israel. There's a lot going on. Could you bring us up to speed as you perceive it? What is going on right now in the conflict? What is the current state of play between Israel and Hamas?
Well, you know, it's deja vu, and it's not just all over again. It's many times again. We've
right.
had the same war, same battle several times. I've participated in several of them as a soldier, and now I'm on the sidelines watching it. What it is, it begins with Hamas firing rockets at us. This time it began Hamas firing rockets at Jerusalem. Israel retaliates, usually from the air, and then Hamas begins to creep up. It creeps up the coast, literally. The rockets hit around the Gaza Strip. Then they hit our southern city of Ashkelon, then our southern port of Ashdod, and then finally they hit southern Tel Aviv. And that's where I'm talking to you now from southern Tel Aviv. And we've been hit by two major barrages, each of about 100 rockets apiece.
Wow.
Iron Dome, our remarkable Iron Dome system, is about 92% effective. That means if they're firing 100 rockets, 10 are getting through. And I've watched those rockets fall. I watched one hit a bus two nights ago. And so we're bracing for tonight. Israel is striking back on a massive scale in Gaza. We just heard that the Israeli warplanes struck a command intelligence center and killed dozens of Hamas terrorists. But Hamas says it's going to be a long way off before it cries uncle.
Yeah.
What's unusual about this, John, is that we're facing not one crisis but two. And that is what's going on in some of our cities, some of our mixed cities where Jews and Arabs have lived together in close to harmony for now many years, in internecine violence between the two communities, synagogues burnt, people shot, people stabbed. I live in a mixed community of Jaffa, tense atmosphere here, police in the streets. So far, no violence, thank God. But if you ask 99.9% of the Israelis what they care more about, what they're more concerned about, disconcerted about, it's much more disconcerted about our situation in our cities than we are about the Hamas rockets. That's amazing.
Yes. Well, it's the first time we've seen this level of anarchy in the streets. And you're right. We've had a relative period of peace, at least in the communities. I saw Prime Minister Netanyahu put out a statement saying, hey, end the lynchings, end the violence. So you really do have, you sort of have a street warfare going on in a way we haven't seen with the traditional rockets. What is the likely Israeli response? Long term, how does Israel put this down and make sure it doesn't escalate out of control?
Well, with the Hamas situation, again, since we've seen this film so many times before,
right.
We'll keep bombing, they'll keep shooting. We hope we don't get to the situation where we have to move in ground forces, because ground forces, first of all, we incur more casualties, but we also inflict more casualties, because a soldier with a machine gun is less accurate than a guided missile.
That's right.
And we're fighting in Gaza, which is densely populated. It's a nightmare, Gaza. And so we hope we don't get to that point. We hope that Hamas will cry uncle before that. There'll be international pressure starting very, very soon. Our clock is, we have maybe 6-7 days to fight before the pressure begins to cease fire. And then Hamas will try to get its major barrages of rockets just before the ceasefire, so it can declare victory. That's the way it works.
Yep.
As far as cities, there's no quick fix for this. These are deep-seated problems. All the cities in which this is taking place, all the neighborhoods, are economically, socially challenged areas. So, for example, Haifa is a mixed city, but it's an overwhelmingly middle-class city, and there's no violence in Haifa. This is areas where you have two underprivileged communities, Jewish and Arab. There's a tremendous level of crime, a lot of weaponry, you know, under the bed.
Right.
And these are problems that are going to have to be solved through social policy, economic policy, education, creating benefits and opportunities for jobs, taking the weapons out of the hands of criminals. I mean, some of these problems are known to inner city America. So again, no quick fix. The immediate step is to stop the violence. And we have policemen who are reservists are being called up. Hundreds, if not thousands of them are being called up. It was a big debate whether to use the army. And we don't have a National Guard. And the army has never been used in a situation against Israeli citizens.
Right.
And so far, there's resistance to calling in the army into these neighborhoods.
Now, I want to take us to the Washington response, because there's no more important ally to Israel than the United States. And there seems to be three ways to look at it. I think before we get into what Joe Biden and Anthony Blinken said yesterday, how much a factor do you believe the decision by the Biden administration to resume aid to the Palestinian Authority to begin negotiations with Iran, which obviously has backed Hamas for a long time? How big a impetus was this to embolden Palestinian extremists to step up the violence, step up the rocket attacks again?
You know, it's difficult to quantify. You know, the administration, regrettably, resumed a policy of rewarding the Palestinians for not negotiating. And I don't know who gets it into their head that they think this is good for the Palestinians. It's actually the worst thing you could do for the Palestinians. It creates a situation where you almost can't negotiate, because, you know, the people will say, what, are you going to negotiate? You're making so much by not negotiating,
right?
When they're making concessions, right? It's also a refunding UNRWA, the UN refugee issue,
right?
Refugee program for the Palestinians, which is the only refugee program in the world which perpetuates a refugee problem, doesn't solve it, and educates kids to hate Israel, right? Really, it's, I don't understand why anybody would resume that funding. I think the general message is, there was a new sheriff in town, and the new sheriff is going to be very loath to pull his gun out and enforce a type of tough law, except perhaps coming down harder on Israel, because that was the memory of the Obama administration.
Right.
So far, I must say, I've been rather pleasantly surprised that the Biden administration and Secretary of State Blinken appear to have been resisting mounting pressure from the progressive wing of the Democratic Party to come down very hard on Israel. I do not know, John, how long they'll be able to resist that pressure.
Yeah, in fact, Blinken's statement about Israel's right to defend itself yesterday, I actually called the rocket launchers terrorists himself, would have been something pretty similar, maybe not, it might have been a little bit different, but it's kind of similar to what a Trump administration might have said or a Bush administration said before. But the reaction from people in Congress was on the left was so harsh. It really shows that Republicans are very united on this, right? There's a letter out today, 44 Republican lawmakers asking Joe Biden, don't give sanctions relief to Iran. They're behind this mischief in Israel, the violence in Israel. And the Democrats are very divided. How does Joe Biden straddle his own personal views on Israel with this pressure from the far left part of his party?
Well, so far, so good. I mean, I've told you before, I know Joe Biden very
right.
well. He was sort of my point of contact when Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, was boycotting the Israeli embassy.
Right.
I talked to Joe Biden. And he comes from that generation that has Israel in its heart. He remembers the Six-Day War. He remembers the 1973 Yom Kippur War. He's deeply committed to Israel's security. But he is a Democrat, and he has to answer to a party as well. And as you hear it, as you mentioned, that the voices of the Democratic Party that are calling on the administration to start squeezing Israel, to criticize Israel, are growing. And they are going to grow in direct proportion to the number of Palestinian casualties. And you're going to see, there's a number out there. There's a red line. I don't know what it is. We haven't reached it yet, but we're getting closer to it. And we're dealing with an enemy, Hamas, that uses its own population as a human shield.
Right.
They want Israel to kill.
A game of chicken, isn't it? Yeah.
They want Israel to kill civilians so that then they can have the world delegitimize us.
Right.
And have the world come in and impose a ceasefire on us that will redound to Hamas's benefit. That's just what they want. They're very clever. And so the Democratic Party, the progressive wing, plays right into that. Because they're going to say, look at the massacre in Gaza. Look at all the civilians being killed. Let's come down hard on Israel and impose a ceasefire.
Now, people have described the far left reaction to this in a very different way. One is anti-Israel. One is pro-Palestinian. A third is maybe a little bit of anti-Semitism. When you look at the things that Ilhan Omar has said and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has said, do you worry that there is a undercurrent of anti-Semitism that comes in within their words, within their implied messages to the world?
Well, it's anti-Semitic is certainly in effect, if not intent, in the sense that they're singling out Israel, that no other country is being treated in this way.
Right.
They're ignoring the fact that millions of Israelis are under a rocket fire. They think that because that has something to do with the peace process. as if there were peace between Israel and the Palestinians tomorrow, Hamas wouldn't be firing rockets at us. Right. Hamas is going to destroy the state of Israel, you know, irrespective of who we make peace with.
That's right.
Nothing it's your state of mission. Nothing to do with Jerusalem. This is a genocidal jihadist organization that is committed to our destruction, which has an anti-Semitic charter. Read that charter.
Yeah.
Like, Jews are blamed for World War I, World War II, everything, bubonic plague. And this is the organization that these members of Congress are supporting. So by supporting an anti-Semitic organization, doesn't that make you a little bit anti-Semitic?
It's pretty remarkable and a very important question. And it wasn't that long ago when some of these members were frightened by what happened at the Capitol and wanted, you know, themselves to be defended, yet they seem to want to deprive Israel of being able to protect itself. Certainly, in its words, it's very interesting dynamic to watch their behavior and their perspective change based on the circumstances. Republicans, Iran. I want to zero in on Iran because I think behind all this is the larger issue of Iran's meddling. How big an alliance does Iran have with Hamas right now? How responsible is Iran for what's going on right now? And what is the end game for both Israel and the United States to try to push back on this?
So Iran is a major sponsor of Hamas. Hamas's big competitor in the Gaza Strip, organization called Islamic Jihad, is wholly owned and controlled by Tehran. Both organizations use Iran-made missiles. Most of the missiles and rockets being fired at us are not homemade,
right?
Made in Gaza, but actually smuggled in from Iran.
They're exported.
And if they weren't smuggled in, the people who made the rockets were trained by the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, usually in Damascus. So Iran is everywhere here. Now, Iran has a great interest in getting Israel bogged down in a ground war in Gaza. They're willing to fight Israel to the last Palestinian. They don't care. And this has a number of benefits for Iran. It detracts Israel's attention from Iranian efforts to transform Syria into a forward military base against us. It takes pressure off Iran in the Iran nuclear talks going on in Vienna.
Right.
It makes America come down harder, perhaps on Israel later, and Israel will be then preoccupied with dealing with American pressure about Gaza and not focused on Iran nuclear deal. It all really redounds to the benefit of Iran. And I think it's very important that American policymakers be cognizant of that and understand that this game is a very complex game. The Iranians claim to have invented chess, John, and they play on not one board, but three boards at the same time.
That's true. It's very true. Yeah. I mean, you hear that from our intelligence agencies. We don't respect, or most Americans don't understand the complexity by which Iran plays in destabilization politics. It's remarkable.
They never fail to impress me.
No. They're patient and they're strategic, and they're not afraid to lose lives in the effort to gain whatever strategic goal they want. And I think that's what we're seeing play out right now. As you look at the internal state of Israel's politics, last time you're on, you did a great job helping us understand what was going on. You've got a prime minister who's sort of a lame duck in the respect that the other side of the political spectrum has been given a chance to put together a coalition government after Benjamin Netanyahu had failed to put one together. How does the internal politics of Israel affect Israel's ability to respond? Could there be a change in course midway through if a different coalition government came up? Or does this actually strengthen Benjamin Netanyahu's hand because Israelis have long trusted him to deal with Hamas? What are the dynamics of the internal politics?
I'll really confuse you by saying the answer to all those questions is yes.
Yeah, that's confused me. You won.
I'll let me unpack it. I'll tell you why.
Okay, please.
Yes, has the morass of Israeli politics contributed to the outbreak of this fighting? Yes, I think it has. I mean, it's difficult to quantify again, but you know, Hamas is obviously looking at an Israeli government, which is not in a great position to govern and to make the hard decisions. And I think that was part of the calculus on the Hamas side. So the answer is definitely yes. Has it impacted Israel's ability to deal with this? I know from my own field. I'm going on many international news sites tonight. I'm not a spokesman for the Israeli government, but I do this, you know, sort of my own out of my own time, my own volunteering. But I need cooperation from the government. I have to know what their positions are. And in previous rounds of fighting, there was always an emergency center set up that developed messages, what are our positions, that, you know, got media out, and there's been nothing, And I'm looking at it, at that unit that's just not functioning, and that's going to have an impact.
Yeah, it has to.
Media in a crisis like this has one profound function, and that is to provide time and space for our forces to do the work. Because without that media explanation, you know, world opinion is going to turn against us very, very fast. So that the answer there is yes as well. But does this redound to BB's benefit? The answer is yes again, because it created a situation where the Arab parties that were going to support an anti-BB coalition government, made up of both right-wing and left-wing governments, those Arab parties now will not support a Jewish Zionist coalition.
Right.
And the right-wing parties in that coalition will not accept the votes of an Arab and often Islamic extremist party.
Yeah.
And so so far now, I'm not saying this is not going to continue indefinitely, so far the anti-BB coalition has not been able to cobble together a coalition. And the clock is ticking, because they only had 21 days to do this before we go back to the fifth round of elections. And in a very ironic way, you know, I always say that Hamas, in order to win, has only not to lose. But Netanyahu also, if he doesn't have to win in order to lose, he only has not to lose.
Right.
And so he goes to be prime minister for another 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, yeah, it's fascinating. And then there'll be another election, right? That'll be the next piece of the puzzle if this plays out. As you look at the line of succession, it seems as though, and again, this is what I hear from U.S. intelligence and from American politicians, and I may be wrong about what they're telling me, but it seems as though Israelis still love the policies of Benjamin Netanyahu, but may have tired of the personality or the controversy or whatever around him. Is there someone like yourself or Ron Dermer or someone else in the political spectrum that could step in and fill the policy promises that Benjamin Netanyahu has always strongly stood for that have been so popular, but maybe deflect some of the controversy that seems to have beset himself over the last 4 to 5 years?
Well, I think you're putting your finger on it. It's not a matter of policy. It's a matter of personality,
yep,
character. The policies, they're very minute policy differences between many of these parties, particularly the parties on the right, which are the majority of the party.
Right.
Maybe some of the far left parties have different policies, but not much. The question is this: the position of the Prime Minister of Israel, and I tell you this as someone who has worked with prime ministers and with presidents,
right,
is simply the hardest job on this planet. Nothing like it. You know, John, the American president goes off and plays golf.
Yep.
You know,
there's no time for that in Israel.
You've never seen the Israeli prime minister ever take a day vacation. No. Ever. Not a night, not a weekend.
Nope.
And not everybody can do that. And BB, you know, for all of his, you know, sometimes Greek tragic flaws, BB has agonistes. He's an economist. He's a statesman. He's a politician. He's a strategist. He is physically immensely robust.
Oh, yep. My
God. Everyone drops dead around. He's a very difficult act to follow.
Yeah, he is.
And not everybody can do this. And so I look around at the field. I see people in the opposition who are exhausted. Maybe never looks exhausted.
Right.
And I say to them, who could actually physically do this? Who can never
right.
mind have the experience?
Because it does take a toll. It does.
It takes a huge toll. And you've seen the before and after pictures of Lincoln.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And so maybe someone like Yair Lapid with the right type of advisors.
Right.
And he needs a reason of advisors. But there's no way that Yair Lapid's ever going to be the economist that Netanyahu is.
Right.
No way he's ever going to be the international strategist and diplomat that BB is, the statesman. Nobody do that. There are a couple of very good, smart people like Yair Lapid, like Bennett, Naftali Bennett, like Gideon Saar, good people, good politicians. With leadership qualities. But again, no one can check all those boxes. That's a hard one.
Yeah, no, he is a hard act to follow. And that's why he's still, in power, because the Israelis have just not found someone with all of the unique blend of skills and stamina that he brings to the table. You have a new novel out, and it traffics in something I think is important, the word truth. I love the word truth, because so often in today's society, we lack truth in our institutions and from our media in some cases. Tell us what inspired you to write this book and what does it mean in this moment in world history?
Well, it's called To All Who Call in Truth. It's from Psalm 145.
Right.
Which is said by religious people at least 3-4 times a day in the Jewish religion. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth. And I think in many ways, it's the essential statement of faith. You believe that God is close to you if you call to him in truth.
Right.
This is a story that's set in 1972 in a small American town. About a junior high school guidance counselor and football coach. You love football, you're going to love this book.
And, I do love football, so I'm in.
And it's about an everyman. An everyman who gets caught up in a relationship which is very complex and obsessive and ultimately dangerous. There's a murder involved. And so I'm dealing with the truth. Here is a simple person, not an hypocrite, but an everyday person grappling with truth, trying to get to his own truth, trying to establish, if he can, some type of relationship with God. It's also about a community in that way, and sometimes failing, sometimes succeeding, you know, like we all do. I also wanted to go back to the early 1970s, not only because it was a world that I knew very well, but
right.
It's a world that's been lost, but it's also a world that evokes, in so many ways, our present condition.
Doesn't it? It's true.
You are, Todd, but you know, if you were to ask young Americans back in the early 70s whether the country had a future. They'd be very skeptical.
They were.
Because the campuses were on fire and federal buildings were being blown up.
Yeah, we had the Kent State shooting.
Very bleak period. And so it evokes, I think, much of the anxiety of our current situation.
It's so interesting. And yet that moment of anxiety, of uncertainty, of in some cases lack of trust in America gave way to, you know, one of the great eras of American history, the 80s and 90s with robust economies and the Reagan and the defeat of Cold War. Do you see, if this is a cycle of history, is there a light at the end of this tunnel? Do you see a moment where some of the forces that have gotten us fighting among ourselves or lost faith in freedom and institutions and all the things that make America and the American-Israeli relationship good, do you see a period now where we may evolve from some of this darkness and get back to a period of peace through strength?
Yes, but there are great obstacles, and there are obstacles that were beginning to emerge in the 1970s, but have come, you know, full blossom. Not the least of which is that the elite universities in the United States produce graduates who don't necessarily believe in the United States.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
And amazing, don't think that the United States is that, you know, exceptional country that's worth defending and fighting for, or that it has a mission to be the leader of the free world. But these are, you know, for a country like Israel or a country like Japan, Germany, South Korea, an America that believed in itself and believed in its global mission was actually essential to our strategic outlook, to our defense.
Right.
And we have to rethink that. So many, there have been historical processes afoot in the United States that have nothing to do with the Middle East, nothing to do with East Asia. It has to do with what's going on internally.
Yep.
A country that right now we see that can't figure out how best to police itself is not going to be busy policing the world and is not in a position to project major power almost anywhere,
yeah.
Almost in any circumstances. So that is a very big difference from, say, the early 70s. Because the United States, you know, then turned around and waged a successful first Gulf War and plus, you know, operations in the Caribbean and was able to project power and then win the Cold War.
Exactly. And our ability to that soft power is really undercut by our own internal strife and our own doubt in ourselves that's being expressed by an entire generation of Americans and their political leaders. It's really remarkable. You're the third or fourth world leader I've heard say this in the last few months. Merkel said something similar. The Mexican president said something similar. I was with an ambassador currently posted here in the United States, and they all have great love for the United States, and they feel sad for what they see playing out. It's really remarkable to hear you say this. So the book is To All Who Call in Truth. Mr. Ambassador, how do we get this book? It's on Amazon, I assume. Easy to get there?
Amazon. It's in digital. It's in audio. It's in any of the book sites on the internet. I imagine it's in bookstores too, but we can't get to them right now. And right now our airport is pretty much closed. So
yeah, isn't that frustrating? Yeah, we'll get there eventually. But well, I know what I'm doing when I get off here. I'm gonna buy that and bring it home for the weekend. And I just love your writing. I love your perspective. We're so blessed to have you on this show. And I thank you so much for all the insights that we learned a lot. And I think this we're going to need to back on soon to help make sense more of all that's going on there.
It's always a delight and an honor. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador.
Take care.
You too. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up for the day. Folks, everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's what we learned from this last pandemic, right? That's where the Wellness Company comes in. You know the Wellness Company. We have their great doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough on all the time on our shows. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and the new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy, and most importantly, prepared. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications, so you know what you're doing. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even the bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw your way. Go to www.twchealth/justnews today in order. That's twc.health/justnews and use the promo code justnews to save 10%. Folks, we're sponsored today by Donors Trust, the tax-friendly way to preserve your charitable giving. In times of crisis, those with a giving spirit and a desire to build up civil society find ways to be helpful. And that's when it's good to have a charitable resource ready to deploy when they're needed most. Donors Trust offers donor-advised funds or giving accounts. You can use these funds as your own charitable investment account and manage your charitable giving in a way that's smart, tax-advantaged, aligned with your values, and private. Donors Trust clients are using their funds to support charities helping their local communities while also using their giving account to simultaneously support think tanks and liberty-minded organizations that believe our constitutional rights shouldn't get lost in a time of emergency. Now is the time to take a closer look at Donors Trust and join their community of liberty-minded donors by opening a donor advised fund. Go to donorstrust.org/justnews for the ultimate survival guide to charitable giving and learn how a donor advised fund can preserve your ability to give to the charities you love. That's donorstrust.org/justnews. All right, folks, it wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. So glad you could join us today. Yes, it was a weighty discussion, but you know what? We need to be informed. We need to be on top of things. What's happening in Israel has the potential to spread. It could escalate. And what is different is it isn't just the rocket attacks. Pay attention to what's going on in some of these mixed city communities where Arabs and Israelis have lived peacefully together for a long time. There seems to be an instigation of street violence, lynchings, attacks, fistfights, knifings. There is a crisis in the Middle East that we haven't seen in many, many years, certainly not since the Obama era. And there are some differences to it that make me and others who I talk to wonder about Iran's role, about the strategy here. And then, of course, the American response is divided. Republicans are united in supporting Israel. President Biden and Secretary of State Blinken have been united, sound very much like the Republicans, defending Israel's rights to defend. But the left flank, the very large left flank of Joe Biden's party, is applying pressure that may eventually have an impact to separate Joe Biden from Israel, to denounce what Israel's doing, to maybe preclude Israel's ability to respond to what's going on. These are perilous times. These are the important stories. That's why we have the podcast, why we have Just the News. We'll keep you up to date, but keep an eye on this great site that we do here in this podcast. We're going to every day bring you updates from the ground on Israel. It is such an important story. All right, folks, have a great night. Thank you for listening. Thank you for reading Just the News. Thank you for joining our VIP club, where for $5 a month, you can get rid of all the ads and autoplay videos and get a once-a-month event to join with me and other great reporters at Just the News to make sense of what's going on. We're very grateful. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports. Until then, God bless and good night.
Can't pay the IRS? Haven't filed in a while? Receiving threatening letters? Yeah, it's about to get worse. The IRS is hiring an army of agents targeting hardworking Americans like you. You need warriors on your side. You need Tax Network USA. Tax Network USA employs brilliant strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. For instance, they've discovered a limited-time special offer that the IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Never call the IRS alone. Let Tax Network USA attorneys handle it. They have preferred direct lines to the IRS. They know which agents to work with and which to avoid. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts and offer a best-in-class guarantee. Schedule your free consultation now. Call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. Or visit taxnetworkusa.com/victor. taxnetworkusa.com/victor.
At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.